Hey, what up, Long Beach? We're back for another episode of the show that keeps you up to date on everything happening with Long Beach schools, their sports teams, and the community at large. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and the other tiny faces on my computer, he's Mike Garabasio, and he's Tyler Hendrickson.
The next time I see you guys in person, I'm just going to like have to use my hands to do like an outline around your bodies, like old cartoon.
Walking around like a 1940s director trying to frame everything up.
I just like, wait, JJ has a lower half of his body. It's so weird. Yeah, I'm so tired of recording and doing everything this way. But it looks like, obviously, the more we're hearing, the more it looks like this is what life is going to be like for quite some time. So good to see you guys, only version of my friends that I'll ever see again.
I'm not to get too somber, but I like miss hugging my mom.
Yeah, it's JJ, kind of a bummer.
JJ, are you going to get a cutout for Dodger Stadium? I know this is kind of random thought, but I was just thinking about when Mike did the shape of your body. Like, I mean, it's a pretty penny, but that could be pretty sweet, especially if you get to keep it. That would be tight.
That's not a bad idea. That would make it feel like the Ravine.
We were going to do that for Vincent. I was going to do it, but it was like, we already got him a birthday present. You know what I mean? We don't need to spend $100. But can you imagine if a little kid gets to see a picture of themselves at Dodger Stadium when they're watching the baseball game? They'd freak out. Yeah, it'd be amazing.
So obviously we've got a huge show for you today. We're going to bring on a special guest, Scott Meyer, a Long Beach legend in high school coaching. He is an original LBC football coach, grew up in the LBC, coached for the LBC, left, came back. He's at Lakewood right now. We're going to talk to him about what he's doing with the Lancers, if they're on the field, and how they're dealing with this world of uncertainty. The world of uncertainty got a little bit more certain, though, this week as the Long Beach Unified School District announced its plans for the fall semester. As Mike said, get comfortable at home because that's where these students will be until at least October.
Yeah, school is going to reopen on September 1st for students. Teachers go back a day or two before that. And the LBUSD had the previous week announced a plan to do sort of a variety of options, which will eventually be what they get back to and what I think most school districts are going to do. Parents will be able to go online and sign their kids up for in-person as much as possible, whatever that looks like. I think the high schools were looking at every other day. Elementary schools were looking at every day. Or you can say, hey, we have immunocompromised people in our house, or we're not comfortable sending our kid to school. They're doing all virtual learning. With the announcement earlier this week, everyone will be doing all virtual learning from September 1st until October 5th. I appreciate as a parent and as a reporter that they set that date. The LAUSD and some other school districts have kind of just said, we're going to be online and we don't know. I appreciate that the LBUSD is still focused and doing everything they can to work with the Long Beach Health Department on how to get kids safely back on campus. And hopefully that October 5th day, if you're a sports fan, not just a parent, if you're a sports fan, you want kids on campus too, because that's the only way we're ever going to be able to get to a point where things are safe enough to play. But we'll see on that October 5th. I mean, as we know, in March, everything looked like it was on fire. In early May, it looked like everything was going to be okay. And in early July, it looked like everything's on fire again. So who knows where we're going to be in early September when kids start learning again. And I think all we can do is all wear our masks and stay inside when you can stay inside, be outside, away from people when you need to be outside. And we're just all crossing our fingers here at the 562.
Well, and the most common question that seems to come up whenever there's discussion of school closures or, pushing things online is always, well, what does that mean for fall sports? Does that mean fall sports are canceled? What's going to happen? And we simply don't know that exact answer quite yet, but we should get at least a little bit more clarity very soon. The CIF will make their announcement on Monday, July 20th. And based on how things are going, I would anticipate things to at least be pushed back. That's kind of what people are expecting, but we're still in a holding pattern and learning and trying to report as much as we can to keep everyone as informed and up to date until things ultimately change again.
Tyler did a great job reporting on the LBCC side of things that the CCCAA, which is basically the NCAA for California junior college sports, did exactly that. They pushed everything to a January to June schedule. That's what we're expecting the CIF to announce. But if you, like us, are very, very interested in that information, make sure you are following all of our social media channels. Monday, 1 p.m., July 20th, is when the CIF will have its press conference, and we will be covering that live with the information everyone wants. Our money, ask all of us to put money down on it. I think we're all on board with the thinking they're going to push. They'll still have a fall, winter, and spring season, but it's going to go from January to June instead of August to June. You guys feel the same?
Yeah, box your trifecta bet because we're going to get all three, right? High school, junior college, and college. The Big West Conference, where Long Beach Athletics is going to decide next week as well what they're going to do. And I think, yes, if we were putting money on it right now, we would all bet that either these groups are saying, we're not going to decide yet, we'll let you know in a couple weeks, or they're going to right now postpone fall athletics until maybe as late as January. I think there's also an issue as to there is a difference between football and cross country. There's a difference between golf and water polo. Like, just putting the blanket over the rest of the fall athletics and saying that none of you are allowed to compete, I think is probably not the best idea. But there's a lot of ideas out there, right?
I think they're going to do that, though. Just because this, if kids aren't on campus, I just don't think they're going to have them doing cross-country meets. Even if I agree with you from a safety perspective, you probably could, based on them being outdoors and it possible to distance with, like, a dual meet or something.
Yeah, and I think we also all agree that it's got to be one way or the other. Like, it either has to be a quarantine, safe-at-home situation like it was in April, where everybody is on the same page and at home and taking it seriously, or we have to have safe and smart plans for getting these kids back outside and with each other, whether that's learning outside, having a classroom in a field. It's happened before. It could happen again. Or even practicing with each other, whether or not we're playing games. Like, I think practicing is as important as just being around each other. Like, you have to be around kids if you're a kid, and you got to stay active. So if we're not going to lock everybody inside, we've got to figure out a way to do this thing safely.
I agree, JJ. And I also think it's important for everyone to remember that there is no possible one-size-fits-all approach. And so I think giving people options and the opportunity to do things in a safe way and following guidelines from health experts is very important. So as we talk about kids being able to go out and practice, it's not a requirement. No one's forcing kids to go out there if they have a particular situation that prevents them from doing that, whether their health or health of a family member that they live with. So there's no forcing people, but as many options as we can give to do things safely and in a reasonable way to keep people engaged, healthy, together, sane. there's so many challenges to work through. And so I just think finding a way to present the most options so that people can find what's right for them is what's going to be most important as we're going to be through this sort of weird halfway stage for, it seems like, many, many months ahead.
You know, the last point for me, and then another quick update, but I just want to say, it's not even just about the benefits to the kids of all those things we're talking about. It's also just about keeping them connected to the schools. 40% mm-hmm. of the Los Angeles Unified School District students disappeared after the school shut down. They never logged on. They never did distance learning. They never had contact with a teacher. And coaches who across the LBUSD high schools interact with about half of the high school students are a good way to use an adult that has a direct personal relationship with the kid to make sure that they're enrolled in classes, to make sure that they're doing the stuff that they need to do school-wise as well. The little update we have is the CIF state office has just said that they will be issuing a press release at 9 a.m. sharp on Monday, July 20th. We will obviously tweet that out as soon as we get it, in addition to covering the CIF Southern Section's press conference at 1 p.m. that will include a little bit more information locally about how the season is going to be implemented.
Yeah, we forgot to timestamp the episode. It's 1:22 p.m. on Wednesday. Things change so quickly. We got to let you know that we know what we're talking about at like 1:22.
At 1:22. I might not know what I'm talking about. 24, baby, but I got 1:22 locked down.
We're not all questions here at the 562.org and What Up Long Beach. We've got some options for some answers as well. This week on the website, you can check out our story, How Do You Restart Long Beach Sports? Obviously, we all want to get to a situation where we are playing games again. We're able to go cover them. You're able to go see them. You can check out the coverage on the website as always, but we're not there yet. So how do we get there? What steps can we take to make sure that the reemergence of athletics on these campuses locally is as safe as possible, but also on the kids' side? So we put together a pretty decently large article with some information about those options, like take it outside. It's really simple. There's a lot of things we don't know, but I think the majority of smart people in the world agree that the virus is more likely to transmit inside than it is outside. So why don't we just take everything outside? Classrooms, practices, weight rooms. It's beautiful out there. We live in Southern California. Look outside. It's sunny every day here. Don't tell me we didn't make it. We made it.
And that wouldn't actually be quite that radical, JJ. I know you bring up classes and some people might be surprised, but after the 1933 earthquake, Long Beach Poly held their classes outside for over an entire year. And it worked out. There's definitely new logistical challenges with how many students are there. But it can happen, and it requires some outside the box and outside generally thinking, because outdoors has been proven to be much safer for everyone.
That's why I said earlier in the show that we've done it before. We've had outside classes before. You know where I read that? In this incredible book called Scholarship. History of Long Beach Poly High School, written by a bunch of mensches. What was your guys' one thing? I mean, obviously, like I said, this article's got a bunch of different points, but what was one thing that stuck out for you guys that you wanted to make sure people knew was an option?
I think the main thing for me is that we need the city to pull together. The idea of hosting volleyball matches for the high school is in the pyramid. The idea of using Veterans Memorial Stadium, if a guideline comes down in January that you could have parents only at a football game, using vets to make sure that people could be spread out enough for every game. There's great cooperation in this city between the city government, the school district, and the local colleges. The Long Beach College Promise is a program between the LBUSD, the junior college, and Long Beach State that has a really formalized relationship between the three of them. And I would love to just hear right away statements from Bill Husak at LBCC and Andy Fee at Long Beach State. We'll donate whatever needs to be donated, you know, because those are facilities that could really change things. There's just not likely going to be a high school basketball season where fans can be in a high school gym together in the stands. But you go to the pyramid, you take 500 people in an arena that holds 5,000 people, and suddenly they can social distance while watching their kids play basketball.
And I'll add a selfish caveat. The pyramid has terrific air conditioning, and none of the high school gyms do. So
not so good on the Wi-Fi, but the high school gyms don't have that either. So
fair point. And if it's not full, you might actually get some service in there. You know what I'm saying? The one thing I wanted to point to was the league games only. And I think, the article does kind of go into that as far as the red tape that makes it difficult when you're going into another section or another county. And so I think keeping everything local, we joke about how often things change, right? And that's going to continue to happen. And so the fewer layers that you can add as far as who to get approval from and who to check with, and if you also eliminate the travel component on a lot of these games, I think that's going to make a huge difference, because how do you bus kids, 60 miles? You can't socially distance in a bus. You know, you'd have to have, what, 8 buses to take a team somewhere? That would be crazy. So it's going to have to be local. We're going to have to change our expectations for what sports are going to look like. But it's more important that we get out there and try to keep things as normal as possible than it is to have things be perfect. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And we might have to sacrifice non-league. And I think I'm ready for that.
We took an open approach to the article on purpose because we want to know what you have to say, what your reactions are, and what your ideas are. We've all got ideas. Let's bandy them about and pick the best ones for the Long Beach sports community. You can find that at the562.org. Obviously, also at Long Beach Post, your local coverage of everything LBC, because these websites are by Long Beach and for Long Beach, and they are community supported. So please visit the562.org and Long Beach Post. There are subscribe buttons on both websites prominently displayed. You go ahead and you smash those things.
They're begging to be smashed.
Make sure you tell your friends as well, because we want to be here giving you the news that you need.
JJ and Tyler just mentioned the Long Beach Post. Our partnership, obviously, with them makes What Up Long Beach and so many other things we do at the 562 possible. But we have to give an extra special shout out to Naples Rib Company, a sponsor of ours for over 10 years at this point. My wife and I made our bi-weekly Naples Rib Company run last week. I got the brisket sandwich, which is what I always get. She went with the roast beef dip. She wanted something a little bit different. We're getting it regularly enough at this point that we've got to switch our menu out. Well, she does. I'm just still getting the brisket sandwich every time. We got the mashed potatoes. We got the chili. We got everything that we love getting down at Naples Rib Company. And it was nice. We sat outside. We didn't talk about the virus. We didn't talk about politics. We didn't talk about the school district. We enjoyed some good food and with a beautiful sunset, and talked about stuff that makes us happy, and pretended that everything was okay for an hour. So get down to Naples Rib Company, get your order in. They're still doing plenty of delicious to-go orders, and you can get your little taste of normal here in what is supposed to be the summer, the middle of July.
We now bring on our special guest, Long Beach's own and Lakewood High football coach, Scott Meyer. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. How you been?
Great. Thanks for having me. It's great to see you guys and great to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's we've been doing this with a few local coaches. We're going to get them all on the show eventually. And I guess the first question to all of them recently has been, are you guys on the field? So let's get that out of the way right now. Are the Lancers on the field this week?
You know, we're not this week. Last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, we were for a couple days, you know, that Monday, July 6th and Tuesday, the 7th, like everyone, we're out there. Then unfortunately we got shut down and opened stuff back up to us. But, you know, talking with Mike Wadley, we decided as a athletic department, you know, let's just hold off now until July 20th, see what CIF announces, and we'll take it from there.
So here's my question, because I know a lot of the local schools are taking that approach. Like, hey, we're not going to tell the kids every other day, you're back, you're going home, you're back, you're going home. So we're going to wait for the announcement, which obviously makes a lot of sense. My question is, what are the contingencies you guys are thinking about for that July 20th announcement? I think we're all sort of reasonably assuming that they're not going to announce that we're playing high school football games in 7 weeks. So, what's your thought on that? If they announce it's a January start, do you go back to just doing conditioning practices right away? Do you take the rest of the summer off and tell the kids we're going to start summer camp in September? Like, how will you guys sort of go forward if it's a January start for the season?
That's a great question. I think we all are assuming now, especially with our district, you know, going virtual until October 5th, that we will be a January season.
You don't think you'll have 6 football games under your belt by the time the kids set foot on campus?
If we do, they'll probably be 0 fans. No, but it's, you know, it's a complicated situation, and something we'll really have to look at. You know, because you want to be around your team. It was great for those 2 days with our players and our coaches. You want to give them something to do. At the same time, you want to maintain, you know, their health and their family's health, because a lot of them do have older parents or maybe live with older grandparents. So we'll see what we're allowed to do too. You know, the conditioning and the running's great. There is some football stuff you can do without a football. But I think we're really missing that weight room aspect. And in order to have our guys' bodies, you know, for all schools, you know, ready to play a competitive football season, at some point we need to find a way to get them in the weight room.
Right. Yeah. It can't just be push-ups and running laps for 3 straight months, obviously.
Or you take the weight room outside, like Mario Morales has done at St. Anthony and Clark Field. I could see a lot of places taking their activities outside. I mean, even Long Beach Unified School District shut down the inside practices before they shut down the outside practices.
Yeah, for sure. And there's, you know, if we moved to, you know, our bars outside, our dumbbells, kettlebells, you know, we could make sure we kept it, you know, sanitized and clean and so forth. But, you know, like Mike said, we do need to start doing more than, you know, push-ups and lunges and squats on air. You know, the running stuff's great, but, you know, we do have to establish a little strength training as well.
I feel like people are kind of missing what the real argument here is. It's, you know, because of maybe some things the president tweeted or whatever else, this has become this yet another kind of polarized, politicized issue. You know, from my perspective, I'm thinking, even if you really want the schools to safely reopen, which is obviously what everyone wants, people should be taking into account what this means to kids to be able to see each other and be around each other and be around their coaches. And that was something that I didn't feel like I saw in the social media conversation between kind of angry adults who just wanted to yell at each other. Can you give us a sense of what that meant to the kids on your team and what you heard from them as they were able to be back together and doing something in an organized capacity?
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes the adults, or us as adults, kind of fight with each other as far as what we think is best for us and not really look hard enough at the kids. But, you know, just those 2 days out there, the social distancing part was easy on the field, but they're so happy to see each other. You know, seeing somebody on a Zoom call is way different than being able to see them in person and just catch up. So just emotionally, I think it was just great for them to be able to see each other and feel that, you know, that family that you have with a football team or any other team. really. And that's one thing that I think isn't addressed quite enough, just the emotional feeling of being around your friends and your teammates.
Speaking of emotional feelings, we've all got a lot of them recently, and I guess we kind of skipped the pleasantries. How you been, Coach? How did you handle quarantine? I know you got a big family over there at the Meyer household.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the pro is the family time that you mentioned. You know, we've got to spend a lot of great family time. You know, at first it was definitely an adjustment. You know, at Kingston going with his home school, you know, my virtual classroom stuff I was doing. So it was a big adjustment at first. My wife did a great job, you know, with Kingston. You know, I did the best I could with my virtual classroom as well. And then we've just tried to find stuff to do. You know, probably way too many drives down Pacific Coast Highway to stare at the ocean and the beach while it was closed. You know, we have our little route through Long Beach, you know, go through downtown and shoreline, and, you know, way too many car drives. And then, you know, been outside the backyard a lot. Probably at a point where I looked like Tom Hanks when my barber was shut down, my beard got unruly, my hair was long, and drinking way too many of my wife's coconut pineapple drinks. But we've made the best of it. And again, the family time's been great, but it has been an adjustment, you know, for us and you know, most families, I think.
Did you get into anything you weren't normally into? Did you find any new hobbies while lockdown?
You know, I was able to actually start working out a little bit and got Kingston
going,
which has been good. You know, probably can't tell my body as much, but, you know, Kingston, you know, getting him that exercise, it's been fun too. Again, just basic, you know, push-ups and stuff in the backyard. But, you know, working out again and, you know, family walks with the dog. And, you know, I have to admit, I've never been much of a gamer, but I'm a undercover Indy racing car fan and getting into F1. I watched the Formula One series on Netflix, was great, and become pretty good at the F1 mobile racing game, I hate to admit.
Oh, video game? Playing with your
Yeah, and I've never been into that at all, and it's the one game I enjoy and found, you know, when I have some extra free time, I've been getting into this F1 mobile game on my phone.
Now, are you like creating career characters and stuff? Like, is Scott Meyer a top F1 driver in this video game?
You know, I've gotten pretty good. I can't say I'm at the top, but, you know, I create my own cars and, you know, paint color designs. And there's three different setups as far as, you know, speed, balance, and high downforce. So,
he's got it all. You going with the Lancer Red?
You know, one of my cars is definitely Lancer Red.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah. You have to admit, you know, I've fallen into that hole a little bit.
Well, I just think that, you know, we're all falling into all kinds of holes we didn't expect ourselves to. I will say I'm going through the same thing you are. The extra time with family is nice. I mean, you're a coach, we're sports writers. Either way, you're not used to being home for bedtime for the kids 7 nights a week for, you know, 4 months at a time. So I've been trying to appreciate that side of it, but, you know, it is definitely, I don't know. Like, for the first 2 months, I think our kids thought this was the best thing ever. You know, we're hanging out with mom. We have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old that we get to see mom and dad all the time. It's great. And then there definitely was a point where they're like, dude, I don't want to hear you tell me to clean this room up again. You know?
Yeah.
What are you guys, have you found some new family routines to kind of keep things loose? Is maybe working out with your son, is that kind of helping to, you know, keep things light, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's been good. You know, when the beach is opened there for a short time, we snuck out to the beach a little bit, which we all love. But other than that, yeah, it's, you know, Kingston, clean your room. Kingston, you know, go read a book, get off your video game. And then, you know, we have our youngest is 4-year-old daughter as well. So a lot of games with her, you know, toys all over the house and reading and
a kids
shows all the time.
Yeah, the energy of a 4-year-old girl is not meant to be contained in one location for 4 months at a time. It's just not the way it's set up, you know?
For sure.
We've obviously talked a lot recently about all the stuff that's been lost, right? You know, we've lost the spring season, all the things we could have seen then, basically preparing ourselves to lose part of the fall season now. And I think your team is one of the teams that we've got on our list. We were working on an article about the programs on the rise. I mean, you took a 3-7 football program and got the first playoff win since 2010 last year. We're so bummed to miss, you know, that St. Anthony game Lakewood St. Anthony in the opener. That was going to be really cool. How are you guys dealing with kind of living in the unknown right now?
Yeah, it's tough. And again, it's kind of a day-to-day adjustment with our society and with our team. You know, just waiting now, July 20th, as we said, is the next big announcement. But we're excited just for whenever we can start, whenever we can get back together working. And, we've got a lot of good young kids coming up in the program. So, again, we're going to do our best to continue to build. And, we think we're definitely headed in the right direction with the momentum we had towards the end of last season.
You guys definitely took a big step forward last season. A little bit of an off-season setback, which obviously has become something that all coaches have to kind of deal with as you lost your quarterback to transfer. How hard, the last time you were coaching in the Moore League, you had Jordan High School. Kids showed up. You had them for 4 years. The kids graduated, right? And Obviously, you went and coached in the Trinity League, where it's, it feels like the NBA or something at times with the amount of transferring between schools. How does that change the way you approach your job or the relationships you develop with kids? Or, I would imagine for me, it would be a little bit hard not to take some of that stuff personally, to be honest with you, as people are coming in or, asking you to pitch them or they're going out to other programs. How do you sort of, manage with the emotions and the changing expectations of that aspect of high school sports?
Yeah, that part's tough because you do, you try not to take it personal. And, when Giovanni left, I don't believe it was personal at all. I had a great relationship with he and, the mom and dad, and we had a lot of great conversations. But it's hard not to take it personal when you're doing everything you can to build a program and invest in all the kids on your team, whatever their goals are, whether it be to go to college or just graduate high school and get a good job. So, when you put in that time and kids leave, it's tough, but you just kind of have to turn the page and understand that they're doing what they think is best for them. And, always be a fan of Giovanni, but sure would have liked to have him with us this year.
They don't make them like they used to, like those 2008 Jordan Panthers. That's actually where you and I first met, Coach. 2008, you were at Jordan, head coach. I was out there for a couple practices that summer. And even you, as, understated as you are, you were like, I got a group here. I got a special group here. I think we can do something. Sure enough, you guys make the playoffs. So many great players on that team, like future NFLer John Timu. But I'm thinking of guys like Bobo, Tani Maka, Vincent Porter, Ropati, Lewis, like that was a deep, deep team that you had over there at Jordan.
Yeah, you're throwing out some great names there. And can you imagine if you had accepted the DB job when I hired it to you? I mean, we would have been incredible. No, but
I tell Timu all the time, if JJ had been your DB's coach, it would have been LBCC instead of UW, and you never would have had a shot with the Bears, Thank God it worked out the way it did. You had JJ doing great highlight videos of you to help get the word out instead,
Yeah, but no, that was a great group of guys. That was a special time for me looking back, my first head coaching job, and built it up to that 2008 team with a bunch of great players and, nothing but fond memories from, Timu and Maka, Bobo, Ropati, all those guys, Vincent Porter, Anthony Smith. I mean, we had some dudes on that team that year that it was a lot of fun coaching those guys.
Yeah, and they just played with reckless abandon in that Tampa 2 defense that you had. I mean, just keep everything in front of you and destroy whatever you see. Those kids were amazing on defense. I think my favorite memory of that season was when you guys went to Modern Day for the first round. Classic Moore League situation back then when they didn't have the divisions. You guys just had to go get put on the platter for some of those Trinity League schools. And it was a blowout on the scoreboard. But after the game, I remember Bruce Rawlinson walking up to you and saying how much he respected the way your kids played and all that stuff. It was like the way they played was as impressive as anything else that happened that night, even Modern Day's win. How did you, or how do you, express to a group of kids like that who just basically got their butts kicked, but everybody in the building sees that they're really trying hard, they're really working for each other, they're doing something special? How do you express that to them right in that moment?
Yeah, I'm just thinking back after the game, I think I probably just told them how proud I was of those guys. No one gave us a chance. The score, I think, ended up 34-14. But we got after them for the first half.
You know,
7-0 at halftime. They had Barkley at quarterback, and we got a lot of good hits on him, and put a lot of pressure on him. The second half, Coach Rawlinson went to his famed, double tight, two-back backfield, and just started running the ball on us, and they got out.
He went to the we've got more guys than you offense.
Yes, he did. And, if they would have kept trying to throw it on us, I think skill-wise, we're playing with them pretty good. And like I said, we got after Barkley a little bit. We I think it was Bobo that nailed him backside, and
yep.
He coughed the ball up, and we scooped, and we had a pack of guys leading him down the sideline, but we didn't get the score there. It should have probably been 7-7 at half, or maybe 14-7 at J-Town. And then second half, he went to Rollo ball, and they got us.
When you saw the competitive equity format go in, we've obviously talked quite a bit about it with a number of programs in the Moore League. Did you immediately think of that Jordan team and you go, man, if we'd have been able to play in Division 8 or 9 with that team, that would have been a very different story than having to travel to modern day, in that first week.
Yeah, that team would have done, I think, a lot of damage in any other division. Because I believe that year, we had a great win against Lakewood. And I think it was Lakewood-Pauley in the semifinals. And,
yep.
And Pauley going on to, I believe, win the state championship that year. So Moore League was pretty well represented in Division 1 back then. And if we had a competitive equity model, I think any other division, we could have made a bit of a run.
Yeah, that season was full of memories. One of my favorite ones is after that Lakewood-Jordan game. At Jordan, you guys knock off the Lancers. The last play was a throw into the end zone. And after the game, final whistle, you and Lakewood coach Thadner meet at the center of the field. He's like telling you that he thinks it's a penalty. You're explaining to him why you don't think it's a penalty. And two classically competitive guys only wanting the last word. You guys stood at center field trading barbs back and forth for like 45 seconds, like walking away a little bit. Then somebody says something, then somebody says something else, then walking away a little bit more. It's one of my favorite all-time clips, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was a great guy. And we actually had a great relationship. Miss having him up here in the Moore League, but we won the game. I wasn't going to let him take anything away from our guys.
Speaking of coaches and great coaches, obviously the Trinity League has been full of them, and you were one of them. You spent some time at Servite. What was the biggest surprise that you saw while coaching in the Trinity League?
Shoot, biggest surprise. That's a great question. Man, you're really making me dig deep here, JJ. The surprise, I don't know. I mean, I expected it to be, very competitive. I expected to coach against a bunch of great players and a bunch of great coaches. And, that was the case. So I'm not really sure surprise wise.
I'll ask a different question that is, you are sort of uniquely qualified. We've talked so much. Everyone talks so much about the public private thing and whether they should be split up or whether it should remain together. You've gotten a chance to see from the inside how different the resources are at schools like Jordan and Lakewood and University versus schools like Servite. Do you think that the way it is now where everyone's in one pool is the way it should be? Or do you think that there'd be a benefit, I guess, especially to the public schools of splitting them up?
Yeah, I guess you could argue, both ways. With the new competitive equity model, and as it was in D1, they only took the top eight teams. I'm trying to think the publics last year, probably Corona Centennial,
it's Mission Viejo. It's the Trinity League plus Mission Viejo and Corona Centennial division.
Yeah. So, but you said it, for most public schools, the resources competing against a private school just aren't there. There's very few, maybe the Mission Viejo, Corona Del Mar has a ton of resources down there. The San Clemente's, Edison, there's a few with the resources. But then it gets in just to the, the whole recruiting model and, going after kids that way. So I guess you could look at it both ways, taking the top eight. We'll see if, these public schools can ever knock the Boscos and the modern days off the top. Probably a private, public model would be, the most fair if you go the competitive equity model completely.
Yeah, I mean, we go back and forth on it all the time because on the one hand, and the CIF likes to put the data out about, their we understand there's a big difference between the Trinity League and St. Anthony High School, right?
Yeah.
But when you do talk about those top level public or private schools, the Trinity League, there's a sort of contingent of schools up in the Valley that's basically the same thing. It is, you are just talking about, and I think we're going to see this with Sierra Canyon as well, just a different level of resources and everything else. And, but at the same time, you know, JJ and I were growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s. I know you remember those years, like those Poly Modern Day CIF championships. That was what everyone loved about high school sports. You had the inner city public school and the, you know, kind of a little bit more lily white private school. Like it felt like those games represented more than just a football game, which is obviously part of the fun of high school sports. So. Something to endlessly chew over, and I guess I don't know. I think in my heart, I sort of hope they don't change it, but I do definitely feel like they probably should, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'd love to be able to build Lakewood up and see more league schools, you know, back in Division One and, you know, competing at that highest level. You know, the facilities in the Long Beach Unified Schools now are finally, you know, all getting the upgrades, so hopefully that'll help keep some kids around. And you know, I think we do have a lot of good coaches in our league now as well, so I'm kind of with you. You know, I'd love to be able to build a program that can go compete with those guys.
So the rest of us guessed at the beginning of the show, and this will be the last question, we all had our predictions, so take us a crystal ball, not what you want to happen, but what you think is going to happen on Monday, July 20th, when we know what CIF is planning on doing, or whether or not they're just going to, you know, kick the can down the road a little bit more.
Well, the crystal ball, you know, I believe it's going to be very similar to, you know, the junior college model that just came out. You know, football and some of those contact sports, I don't know how they'll organize it. Mid-January, we start practice, you know, maybe late January or February, the games, and then we go from there. I think the complication now, you know, with our district, we're starting October 5th, all virtual. So what do they even do with the cross countries? You know, the sports that they could easily get going in the fall, do they still allow those teams to get together and work out, or what happens as far as us being virtual? Because, you know, we can't sit in a classroom, but are some of our, you know, teams going to be able to get together and work out and meet? So this whole virtual thing kind of complicates everything, but my crystal ball says for football, you know, earliest would be January.
Good stuff, Coach. As always, thank you for taking the time. You're one of our favorites. Best of luck through all of this stuff that's coming down. Love to the family, and take care.
Thank you. You guys are the best. Love to your families as well, and hopefully we catch up in person real soon.
Absolutely, Coach. See ya. That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode being put into the books. Obviously, another great interview with another great football coach here in Long Beach. Love Scotty Meyer. Have known him for a long time, as we mentioned. Yeah, there is a different universe out there, Mike, where I might still be the defensive backs coach at Jordan High School. I may have been there long enough where I would be the head coach.
I was going to say, with all due respect to Jordan High School, where my wife teaches, I have a deep love of the history of that high school. I'm pretty sure you would have moved up the ranks from defensive backs coach. With the coaching changes and switches that they've had at Jordan High School.
Maybe Scotty would have taken me with him, and then I'd be at Lakewood now. I don't think a lot of people know that. It was basically a choice between getting into high school football coaching. My paperwork was in. I was right there ready to go.
Oh, they were clearing you.
Yeah. It was either going to be high school football or, you know, this crazy idea of putting local sports on a website.
You literally chose the two professions that have the least economic security. Like, maybe literally at the two at the bottom of the list of anything you could have done.
Yeah, money's not important to me, Mike.
No shit.
All right, we're starting to end this show with a little thing called speech and debate. The three of us just throwing something around. Maybe sports, maybe not sports. I don't know. This is usually what we do before and after the podcast anyways, is just talk about random stuff. So, Mike, you said you got one this week?
Okay, this is more open-ended. Usually it's been like a this or this kind of an option, but I saw this in a post from Pat Beverly, and I wanted to throw this out there. If you were going into the bubble for the NBA, you're an NBA player, so the assumption is you're probably doing pretty well financially, but maybe you're a Pat Bev type guy where you could be doing better, right? You're not Giannis or LeBron. Like, you, some extra money would be nice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Pat Bev brought enough brought enough white shirts to be able to sell them to other players should they want to look nice when they go down to the bar for a drink, which is the only social interaction they're allowed. So my question to you guys is, what would your sneaky bubble quarantine hustle be were you going into Walt Disney World right now?
That's a really good one.
I already know what mine is. I would have gone into the bubble with 100 charged juice packs, the little USB chargers, ready to sell those things for $50 a pop.
Smart.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm really cracking up picturing Pat Bev going door to door like Hustle Man trying to sell these packs of white teas.
It's not difficult to imagine,
but it's still cracking me up.
I also like envisioning all of them wearing them immediately in the crease down the middle that you only get from a white tea in one of those packages where you can wash it three times and there's still the crease right down the center.
Right. It's the shirt that divides me. I feel like if you could be the Bubbles weed man, that would be very profitable, considering they're not testing this year. So I don't really know how you would like make that work.
So I actually had a question about that, because these guys are going to be in there for a couple of months and they're not allowed inside contact.
They're Chief Keef, dude. Yeah. It's like the first version of Up in Smoke. Remember that first concert of Up in Smoke when there was the one that they didn't check your pockets?
Yes.
It just looked like L.A. smog had circled itself around the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes. Right. Yes. 100%. Yeah. So that's – I'm like, are these dudes walking in there with freezer bags filled with vapes? Like, you know, like, this is my USB collection or
– I'm going to go recreational activity as well. I'm going to bring kiddie pools and light beer. Because if you can fill a pool with cold water, sit there, and drink beer while sitting in it, your life is fine.
So you're honestly going with the Josh Rosen dorm room sauna approach.
Exactly. I like that. Yes. I like if that. You sit there, you crush some C-minuses, dude. get some vitamin D. You're outside. You're being safe. There, no one can fit. You're an NBA basketball player in a kiddie pool, for God's sakes. It's social distancing at its finest. So you can just line up a couple of them, you know? I'd even deliver them. It'd be like door-to-door service.
I like that. That's good. So I feel like all three of us are coming out of the bubble richer than we went in.
Well, we'd only be able to do that if we were Pat Bev's. Because if LeBron tried to do any one of those things, people would be all over his head. Like, oh, I'm sorry, bro.
You don't make enough money for a juice pack, bro?
You don't make enough money. You got to take it off us. Thanks, dude. You got any Gatorade? Or Nike or McDonald's you could give me as well. Anyways.
I feel confident that in an NBA bubble, I'm on the Pat Bev end of the spectrum and not the LeBron end of the spectrum.
So. 100%. 100%.
Well, that was a great show. We're going to have another great one for you next week because we will really have some stuff to tell you next week. Monday, July. Do you guys want to do like a special pod on Monday or something? I feel like it would be silly to wait till Wednesday after we know on Monday.
Really, emergency pod? Emergency pod could be the move.
I'll record some audio from that press conference at 1 o'clock, and we can just, as soon as the press conference is over, the three of us can just hop in and, you know, we'll drop some of the audio in. We'll be good to go.
All right. So if you're cool enough to listen to the end of the podcast, you just got a special exclusive heads up. Emergency pod Monday. I don't know if you can pre-plan an emergency, but we just did. We do whatever we want here.
Special episode. Special edition.
In this economy? In this economy, I think you can.
The economy's in shambles, D. All right, guys. That's it for this episode of What Up Long Beach. As I said at the top, please visit 562.org and Long Beach Post and support both of those because the community needs the community now more than ever. For Mike and for Tyler and for JJ and for everybody else at both of those websites, we will see you soon. I promise. Take care, Long Beach.